Paul, when we talk about players who maybe change, you know, the game, you look at Steph Curry, and maybe with the help of his coach, because he allowed him to shoot that much. Like, guys shooting the three-pointer as often as no one's as efficient as Steph Curry, even now that everybody else is trying to do it. But what he's done here in the last few weeks and what he's done in his career is like mind-blowing. Like, he could miss his next 600 three-point attempts and still have a better shooting percentage than Reggie Miller.
It's ironic how you just described what Steph Curry's greatness is all about. But the way I look at it, to be honest, Jason, is the evolution of the game. When Reggie Miller played, it was still an inside-out game. He was just,
yep.
He was just extraordinary. You know, like he made big shots at big times. But you look at Reggie Miller's percentage, like you just pointed out. Look at Larry Bird's percentage and Michael Jordan's throughout his career, but particularly early in his career. The percentages were real low by today's standards. So Curry comes along. He's the next generation of shooter, and he's generational because I think your point is the great one. When Curry was winning three championships with Golden State and setting all the records, it really changed the way the NBA started to play and continues to play to this day. But nobody's Steph Curry. No matter what you do, you can be a real good shooter. But there's only one Steph Curry that shoots the way he does at the level he does night after night, year after year.
Yeah, you're right. It's bang on. There's no one close. And no. What he did last night against the 76ers was almost kind of like beating them by himself. And, hey, Draymond Green's, you know, a good defensive player, but he's not a shooter. And I was kind of like the 76ers had to know what was coming, and they still couldn't stop it.
You know, good offense always beats good defense. Like when you watch Kawhi Leonard, when he was at his peak, and maybe he still is, but let's say he was at his peak a couple of years ago as a defender with the Toronto Raptors, he still couldn't stop the great offensive players when they were having a good night, because offense beats defense even at the highest level. But when you talk about what Curry does, like if it was easy to stop him, or if you could stop him, people would. Players guarding him are as or more athletic. They're quicker, stronger, longer, taller, all of those things. But when you're dealing with genius, you can't stop genius. And that, to me, is what Steph Curry is. It's just expressed in the way that he shoots the basketball, from where he shoots it, the way he shoots it, and the way he gets his shots. It's a work of art to watch. It truly is.
Paul Sir, join us in Basketball Alberta. Paul, you look at the Denver Nuggets, and it's only a short period of time, but the Joker has just elevated his play with Jamal Murray out, and I know that the playoffs are very different than the regular season, but have you seen anything without Murray that makes you believe that maybe the Nuggets could still be a force in the West?
Well, it is the Joker, because it reminds me of Steve Nash in Phoenix, how very different players, obviously, but their effect on their teammates is the same. They make their teammates better than they really are. Because he's on the court, they're automatically better. So if you're a decent player and you're working hard, Joker's going to make you a good player, or a real good player, because he's going to get you the ball at the time you need to get it, in the spot you need to get it at, in order to be successful at the highest level you're capable of being. So I think that's what we're seeing right now, is the Joker taking the mental and physical game to another level for the Nuggets and putting up numbers that are astronomical, but the numbers that he puts up are in all aspects on the offensive side of the basketball. And that includes involving teammates that aren't that good. They're not as good as Jamal Murray, for instance, but they're probably getting the benefit of Joker's passing more than Murray did, because Murray could create his own shot, where the people stepping in for Murray can't in the same way. So I just think it's like if Joker can play the way he does and the other guys work really hard, this might be a team that still is a force to be reckoned with when the playoffs come.
Paul Sir joins us, talking some basketball and Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. And with all their injuries, the Lakers just keep falling down the standings. Now they're into fifth place. They are two games ahead of the Portland Trail Blazers, but Portland does have, what do they got, two games in hand. So, you know, they win both of those, then suddenly they're only a game back. And, you know, the Lakers, like, I don't know if they can just flip that switch. Right, like especially with all these other teams rolling, like you look at the Suns and the Clippers and the Nuggets, they're all 8-2 in their last 10, and you know the Utah Jazz are only 6-4. Like I'm not sure. I keep reading all these people who think, hey, and the Lakers are defending champs and LeBron's LeBron, and I get it, but man, those other teams are pretty good, and you're going to have a guy now. Maybe the rest will help him, but that type of injury is pretty tough to come back from and be efficient right away.
He is. As hard as it is to believe sometimes, still only human. I'm speaking of LeBron, of course, and he is 36. So you're right, Jason. It is not a question of whether they can flip the switch or not. The question is, will the rest of the team playing without Davis, playing without LeBron, be able to adapt to them being back in the lineup? Because they are what they are right now, which is a pretty mediocre team. So I agree with you. I don't think that anyone should assume that just because LeBron and Davis get back in the lineup that they're necessarily going to go back to the front of the pack as was expected at the beginning of the season. They're going to have to work their way back in on both ends of the ball and with their teammates in order to really be the threat that people think they are to repeat as NBA champions, because there are some other very tough teams in the West that are going to be primed, and if they're healthy are going to be, I think, real tough outs for the Lakers with the time that they're going to have to prepare by the time Davis and LeBron get back. And who's to say, by the way, Jason, when they get back, they're going to be 100% anyway. Davis, my gosh, you look at his career, he and Durant should have their own wing in a hospital right now for how often they're hurt. So, yeah, it'll be real interesting to see how quickly they can come back and become effective once again.
Paul, the Toronto Raptors, hey, they're still kicking around people who hold out hope that they can get in. They're a half a game back of both the Wizards and the Bulls, who are all, and only one of those three teams is going to get in to the postseason. And we'll see if, you know, they get in. They're probably going to have to face Miami in the first round or whatever the play-in round is, I guess. Like the Raptors, you know, it's a nice story, but like the Washington Wizards are suddenly, like, they look like the team that's probably going to win their way in.
Yeah, I would say so. I've been a little surprised and a bit disappointed at the moves that Chicago made, and that it's really not as, I guess, impactful as I would have thought it would have been. They added quite a lot of talent. I think this is my kind of caustic look at the Chicago Bulls. I just don't think you can win in a big way with Zach LaVine as your primary player. He's a great talent, but he's an odd player to play with. He doesn't make anybody else better, is I guess what I'm trying to say, and he takes really strange shots at real odd times. So he may end up with 36, but I don't know if his efficiency is very high. But the Wizards are playing well. Westbrook, Beal, like, they look pretty good right now. And some of their young talent, and this is why I think they're becoming more of that team that you just described that might be the one out of those three that you favor, Jason, is their young players have gotten a lot better through the course of this season. And Westbrook seems to be settling in, and Beal seems to be refocused again. Like, he was always putting up good numbers, but he seems to be working hard on the defensive end again. So, yeah, right now, Washington's kind of fun to watch, actually. And you don't usually say that about a Russell Westbrook-led team, but they actually are a lot of fun to watch. So they would be the favorite right now, but the Raptors, Nick Nurse, they just find a way to hang around. They find a way to win ugly. They find a way to scratch and claw their way out of tough situations. So I don't think we can count them out yet, but I don't think if you looked at those three, if you had to pick one, two, and three, I would pick right now, just on ability, not from my heart, I would pick Washington, Chicago, then the Raptors out of those three.
Give me your thoughts quickly on the men's Canadian team without Jamal Murray, you know, how that changes the makeup of your team. And, like, Lou Dort's an obvious got to make this roster, no?
Oh, yeah, I would think so. I mean, the guy is I'll tell you what, I thought real quickly, I saw him play when he was at Arizona State in his freshman year. He was so raw. You could see the athleticism. Like, I went courtside, watched the guy, and my gosh, what an athlete. What a magnificent athlete. But I don't think anybody expected him to blossom the way he has in at this early in his career. But I think you have to choose him. What I'll be interested in is to see how Dort's game translates to the international game, where you can play zone and you can do things that you can't in the NBA. The NBA is suited for one-on-one players. That's how Dort gets his points. But he works so hard. He's got such a great attitude. And his offensive game has become more varied. So you're right. Without Jamal, that really hurts, the versatility of the team. But when you put in an athlete and a defender and a guy who can score in the open court the way Dort can, he could be an effective player, certainly for the men's national team.
Paul, great stuff as always, man. I appreciate it. Have a good week. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Jason. Always fun.